just had a weird thought right before the show started. It was about 15 minutes ago. I was soaking my poor little eye with a warm washcloth. And as I always do when I'm soaking my eye with a warm washcloth, I'm thinking about the millennium. And I'm thinking about how unfortunate it would be. I mean, I actually began to feel sorry for people who would be born during the millennium. Why? This is why it has to do with BlackBerries. Hello, everyone. This is Martin Zender. Welcome to another edition of the Revelation series. Now, one of my frustrations with picking BlackBerries, which I love, and you know, the forests are chock full of BlackBerries in the summer, and many of them are unpicked. And if you find the right patch, why, you can go back there and pick to your heart's content. There's only one problem, is that God surrounded them by thorns and prickly things, so that when you approach them to indulge your sweet tooth, to indulge your lust for nature and for the nutrients that nature provides, you are pricked and bloody trying to get to it. You eventually do what everybody else does. I'm giving up on this, but you have to want it bad because you're going through all those prickle bushes. Now, a child who's born during the millennium will have to have this explained to them by their parents, and they will shake their heads and look at their parents like they were nuts. And the parent will be saying, "You don't know what it was like back in those days when we had to fight away the briars and the thorns in order to get to the blackberries." And the kids will be going, "Tell us that one again about how you fought through to get the blackberries." And it's going to be an astounding thing. They won't appreciate it because this is how we'll be in the kingdom. The curse will be removed. We know that God brought a curse to this earth because of the sin, and by the sweat of his brow, Adam had to tend the crops and get his food. And so the kids, the spoiled brats of the millennium, are going to just wander up to blackberry bushes. I may resent them for this. And they will be giant swelled blackberries the size of hockey pucks. No, not the shape of hockey pucks, the size of hockey pucks, and they will be presented right there. You won't have to fight for them. Just be like, ding, ding, ding. That's exactly how it will sound. And the kids will be spoiled. And the only way I can think that they would have an appreciation for this is if their parents put them over their lap and switched them. Just kidding, that was a joke. Is if their parents patiently explain to them or show them storybooks of the days, the evil, scary, hard days back in Eon 3 when the approach to the blackberry was actually wrought with trial and stuffed with thorns and briars and things of like nature. And then suddenly, this is the weirdest thing, I began to appreciate being a part of this generation. You know, there was one point in my life, I suppose, when I read books about the greatest generation, and of course, from our perspective, that would be the World War II generation. That seems to have been the last generation that before everybody got spoiled. And because, you know, we fought for a right, with the war was a good war in that it was cut and dry. There was an obvious evil with the black mustache, and everybody pulled together. And it was a time of, well, pulling together. And then there's the post-war boom, all the manufacturing that went into tanks and airplanes. I'm not promoting all that stuff, but it then went into the manufacturing of televisions and washing machines and things that make our life the convenient hell that it is today. So nowadays, when you look back, you have your kids today on your lap, and you're telling them stories of the good old days, you know, back when things were simple. And they're amazed, they're agape when you tell them that you somehow survived without the internet. You know, we had telephones and we didn't have them in our pocket, and the kids are absolutely astounded. So there's something about being able to have these epic stories and to tell these things to your offspring. And like, you're the mature one, you're the one who's been through the war. Well, we've been through the war in more ways than one. You talk about a war. Now, it's a softer, much, much softer line between World War II and today than there is between Eons 3 and the good eons, Eons 4, that the seventh trumpet introduces. The seventh trumpet introduces the good eons. There is a much bigger difference. Now, imagine being an elder, and I mean you are an elder, when you've come through the veil of Eon 3 into Eon 4. And in those days, though, kids will not be They will not be surly. They will not be smart aleck. Why is it that I have to ask the kid at McDonald's? Why I have to say him, hi, can you help me? I get to the counter and they look at me. And I have to say, hi, can you help me? I'm trying to clue them in. But the kids won't be that way during the millennium. They'll be appreciative of these stories of when people were subject to death at what age? 70 and 80? They are absolutely unbelievable. And tell us what it was like when Satan was actually loose. Because during the 1,000 years, he's going to be bound for 1,000 years in the submerged chaos. And then they're going to, you know, play these shows and they're going to say, listen to this guy. Well, we really like this Martin Sender. Where is he? Oh, he's in the Celestials now. He was a member of the body of Christ. But look at what he was talking about. And look, do you know why he's wearing those sunglasses? No, why? Tell us. Well, he had a terrible sty on his eye, you see, and it got grosser by the day. And it grew and grew. And he put a soft cloth on it, soaked in warm water. And he got it, this thought struck him, which is what we're listening to now, that you are privileged, and yet we feel sorry for you to have to not have been through this. And so I think now there is some, I've thought it before, but it's really coming home to me more and more. There's a great value to have come through this, and we're going to be sought after. We're going to be famous for it, especially among the Celestials, because we've come from death. We've come from Earth. I mean, Earth is a famous place to the Celestials. You've heard me say this before. The Celestial hierarchy cannot imagine that we're actually down here. We're struggling. We're suffering. We're raising our fists. We're dying. We can't get our blackberries in a unscratched fashion. And so they are amazed. Think how amazed they're going to be when we're transformed. Our bodies are changed, and we're taken to that realm. And we remember everything we've been through. Our elder brother has gone there before us. And talk about celebrity, talk about fame because of the work he did. But now we are his brethren, and we're going to be there as well. So anyway, that mother in the 1,000-year kingdom will be speaking about the members in the body of Christ. And once in a while, one of us will come down to visit them on the earth. And it will be a great event. But in the meantime, the only way, isn't this interesting? The only way these kids, at least it is to me, if it's not to you, then you've wasted the last 7 minutes, sorry. But these kids, the only way they're going to know about this is from an elder, somebody who's been through the veil. Show them the picture book, show them the old videos, going to have a great internet connection at that time. I'm being told that this weekend, it's just a couple days away now. I'm actually recording a couple days ahead of time in Springfield, Missouri. I hear that there are like 28 people coming to this meeting. So this is turning into an event. And so if it's not too late to get to Springfield, Missouri. You're hearing my voice now on Thursday. The meeting is on Saturday, the 12th of December. As long as that's Saturday. Is it Saturday the 12th of December? Javier Salteres. Email him rsalteres, rsalteres, at centurytel.net. Tell him you're coming or just show the heck up. Now start making plans for Indianapolis the next weekend, December 19th. December 19th, we're starting to get a good group for Indianapolis. If you're in southern Michigan, if you're in western Ohio, if you're in eastern Illinois, if you're in southern Indiana, you're within striking distance of Indianapolis. They call it the Crossroads of America. I'd love to meet you there. The contact is Andy May. Real nice guy. I mean, his name's Andy. How great is that? Very likable, very amicable, very sociable guy. I've never met him, but he sounds like a nice guy on the phone. Write him, camay222 at yahoo.com. C-A-M-A-Y, 222 at yahoo.com. I will see you in Indianapolis on the 19th. And that will finish the touring for this year. Anyway, somebody mentioned Isaiah 57, verses 1 through 2 to me. I was talking about death earlier. I think it was last week. I was talking about the two witnesses and that death is part of life. Death is part of their testimony. It's part of it because God's going to make a great statement there. And I said that we are vexed sometimes that the good die young. And here's these two witnesses testifying to God, and they die violently. And someone sent me a verse reference, and I said, where has this verse been my entire life? And I wrote it down, and I'm going to share it with you, because this is comforting to me. It's Isaiah, I'm going to read it from the Concordant version first, Isaiah 57, verses 1 through 2. And the person who sent me this was actually tipped off on this by my talk. This is Isaiah 57, 1 and 2. From the Concordant version of the Old Testament. The righteous one perishes. You got that so far? The righteous one perishes. And the two witnesses we have, the righteous too, are perishing. And there is no man laying it on his heart. And men of benignity are being swept up. Good men, men who are benign, they're being swept up. While there is no considering, here's the consideration, there's no considering that because of the evil, the righteous one is being swept up. Pause here. It's because of the evil the righteous one is being swept up. Well, we know it can't be because the righteous one is doing evil, but it's because of the evil that the righteous one is swept up, yet he shall enter into peace. He shall enter into peace, that is death. They shall rest on their beds, that is death. Euphemism for death. They will not exist. In other words, they are being delivered out of the evil. We always look at the death of a young person and say, what did they do wrong? That poor person. Oh, and I think I suggested, now it's coming back to me. I suggested to you, that think of what evil these young people that are dying, quote, young, dying, quote, before their time. Nobody dies before their time. That's what I said. Nobody dies before their time. We rarely consider that it would be a good thing that God is sparing them from evil. Here's your verse. Here's your verse. Isaiah 57, verses 1 and 2. The righteous one perishes, and there is no man laying it on his heart. And men of benignity are being swept up. While there is no one considering that because of the evil, the righteous one is swept up. Yet he shall enter into peace, and they shall rest on their beds. Okay, that's quite the opposite of what is happening with the poor people who are still on the planet. They don't have any peace at all. They're not resting on their beds. Mm-mm. They're in the jungle, baby, and they are on the treadmill of futility. Now, I love this verse from the International Children's Bible. I caught on to this, what was it, maybe last month? I found a quote. I found this crazy Bible, never heard of it, International Children's Bible. Since I'm a bit of a childlike person, I decided that I like this version, and I first checked to make sure that the truth is not compromised, and it just brings it out in a nice way. Here's this verse from the International Children's Bible, the ICB. This is Isaiah 57, verses 1 through 2. Those right with God may die, but no one pays attention. Good people are taken away, but no one understands. The people who do right are being taken away because of evil, but they are given peace. The people who live the way God wants them to find rest in death. That verse comforts me. It comforts me concerning not just the young, but those who are suffering. It's much easier to see when we have a grandmother or a grandfather, aunt or uncle or mother, father who are suffering, and they're in great pain and they're dying slowly of cancer, and it's horrible to watch. And then we can easily see at that point death is a mercy, relieves them of their suffering because they're in the suffering. So it's not often that we consider the death of a young person, all the suffering that they are spared from in the future, because as we read from Job the other day, I quoted it in my ZWTF last weekend. Man is born for trouble as the sparks fly upward. If a spark flies upward, then man's born for trouble. As soon as sparks start going down, that's the day I look forward to. It means that man's no longer born for trouble. There's another revelation I just had. In the kingdom, the sparks are going to fly downward because man's going to have no more trouble. I look forward to that day, and I'm sure you do too. So tomorrow, back to the unveiling, back to the pinnacle. The pinnacle of what the seventh trump introduces us to. It's going to slide you into the weekend because the news, after you get over the bump of the indignation, the news from that point on is all good.